Thank you so, so much for speaking with us. It's a total joy to have you here for Lanwei.
Sorry, wait, hold on. I've never been, I feel like I'm doing like a robot interview.
Happy birthday from the other day. Where were you and what did you do to celebrate?
So it was my birthday the other day and I celebrated by going to LAX and getting on an airplane to come to Auckland.
And of course, another congratulations on your latest album, Lune Rouge.
Thank you so much. It's the one body of work that I'm the most proud of up until this point, but yeah, thank you.
What does the album name mean to you?
So Lune Rouge essentially means red moon in French, and there's this idea of what a red moon is, right? This blood moon, it's almost ominous in a way. But I did a lot of research, and this red moon is not ominous. It is a sign of change. And that's my interpretation of kind of the brief research that I did. But this album comes after a very harrowing time for me where I had these crazy brain surgeries and had a very difficult recovery. And to me, that experience is like my Lune Rouge. That's my red moon. And this album is just a result of those experiences.
On Wednesday, there is a blood moon, a blue moon, and a full eclipse. It'll be the perfect time to listen to the record.
Oh, that's really cool. I didn't know that. Awesome. I'm going to play my album and look outside, watch the moon.
You came up through the LA beat scene. What elements of LA and this scene do you still carry with you?
I carry LA with me every day, and I've said this in the past and I still believe it to be very true. If I didn't live in that city, I don't know if I'd be making music. And I think just to have those roots in LA in the beat scene, or what, kind of became known as the beat scene. I think when we were in it, it was just, us hanging out with each other. I mean, those are people that I still see, and these are people I still communicate with and I'm still friends with. And I think we all started and spawned from this like small community. And I'm just proud to see how everyone has created this voice, like has taken their own voice and really has gone in their own direction. And yet, I think it's always apparent that we all came from LA. We all came from LA at a specific time. And I'm grateful to have been a part of that whole thing.
Yeah. Your latest Guitar Center videos have been a great insight into your creative setup. I love how you use field recordings to synthesize your own original elements. What would you say is your core or favorite piece of gear at the moment?
My favorite piece of gear at the moment. Ooh. Honestly, right now, I think it's just having my audio interface with me at this point, because I'm traveling so much, it's really hard to keep gear. I actually have this really neat MIDI controller. It's completely flat. It's like built like a tank, but it's very easy to move around, but I can't remember the name of it at the moment. That's actually something I also like a lot, but I can't say the name. If anyone wants to look for it, it's like a super flat, micro USB keyboard thing.
Your recent vanquishing of Moemoya has been incredibly inspiring, especially for those overcoming physical duress to continue their creative work, myself included. So, thank you.
Well, you're welcome,
Moemoya led you to hear music effectively as noise. Do you think the reset function of this has changed your listening sensibilities?
The thing with the Moemoya is, it wasn't that I've forgotten how to relearn. It was kind of like these abilities were buried for a bit and then they began to resurface. So it was more about waiting for my body to heal enough for me to kind of gain back the functions I already had. So I didn't have to like relearn Ableton or relearn music. It was kind of a gradual resurfacing of all these skill sets I had in the past. So it's not super exciting in that aspect. It's not like, bam, I understand music and it's all different to my ears. The music kind of sounds the same as it did prior, but it's really my approach that caught this like switch, this motivation and the inspiration to create was switched on and I finally felt like I was creating from, not finally, but I was creating from a pure place again. And I think that when you're a musician for a long enough time, you begin to lose sight because you're getting pulled in so many different directions. And I realized if I knew that I was gonna die tomorrow and I made this music, I wanna know that I made this music for myself. And I want to know that this music is something I'm proud of and something that means something to me. And this whole album is the result of that. That's what's getting turned on. This, let's just make this for myself and let's share this journey with everyone else. Yeah.
You've created a huge amount of remixes. How do you approach a remix for someone else? How do you bring yourself into someone else's track?
So remixes are really interesting, right? You know, the song exists as it is, and for me, my intentions are to present the remix in a way that it doesn't already present itself. So I find it almost like a challenge or a puzzle and a way to give my voice to something that wasn't really created by me initially. And it can prove to be challenging sometimes to try to make a great song greater, for example. And a lot of times, you know, it's nice to take a remix and flip it in a way where you think you're creating something different or grander to some degree. But yeah, I don't know what it is. Like when I get to approach a remix, more specifically ones with vocals, I just like knowing that at the end of this process, someone's gonna listen to this song and be like, oh, this is a really good song. They won't, not something that they can know is a remix. Like, this doesn't sound like a remix of another song. I created a new voice for it, yeah.
I know you're a food fan. What have been some of your favorite meals during the Loon Rouge tour?
I am a big food fan. Let's see. Oh man, I don't know. I've eaten lots of really amazing things. I think when I did like the Asia leg of the tour, I ate, you know, amazing food in Bali. I ate really amazing food in Korea. At the end of the day, I don't really get to explore cities very much or countries very much, but the one thing that I get to do is eat, and that is my way of experiencing the culture. And it's even better when someone local can tell me, well, this is where we eat and not the place on TripAdvisor, you know. So those are always valuable experiences. But yeah, there's too many to name, really.
What's your favorite spot in LA? What's your homecoming meal after a tour like this?
Whenever I come back from a tour, I go and I eat Korean food. So usually something very noodly. There's a dish called kalguksu, and it's basically homemade noodles. And you can go to these restaurants where they do like a chicken noodle soup, where all the noodles are homemade. And when I'm exhausted from a flight and I just feel under the weather or just needing something comforting, that's the first thing that I go for. As far as my favorite spot in LA, it changes. There's so many great restaurants now. I guess I would say, oh man, this is gonna be hard for me to answer. I mean, I would imagine just like go anywhere in Koreatown. There's a place called Sungbukdong. It's a little hard to explain how it's spelled, but they do this braised short rib. It's off the chain. It's so good. So I recommend that place. If you can figure out how to spell it, it's there. Yeah.
Thank you so much for speaking with me. Even if I couldn't fully voice myself, I can't wait to catch you later on this eve. I hope you have a beautiful time in the South Pacific.
Thank you so much. I hope you feel better.